Now, President Trump signed an order yesterday that will suspend temporary foreign work visas, including the high-skilled H-1B program, through the end of the year, citing concerns with the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The administration will also pause issuing green cards. The move is expected to impact more than 500,000 foreign workers, and business leaders across the country have raised opposition to the new rule. These are the latest moves from the Trump administration to curb immigration, along with discouraging asylum seekers from coming to the U.S. during the president's time in office. Our next guest joins us to talk about the reasoning behind the move, the impact it could have on workers, businesses, and asylum seekers. Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at UW Green Bay. Elise, welcome back to Central Time.
Great to be with you, Rob.
Well, can you spell out for us what these particular work visas we're talking about and green cards do? Who are the people who receive these kinds of things?
Yeah, so we're looking at a lot of the H category visas that are often called the high skills. It's really specialized skills, often tech or computer programming, that sort of thing. It can also be medical professions. These are viewed as really in demand, filling niches that may be left with gaps if we relied only on the U.S. labor market. Also some seasonal workers, maybe hotel construction in the H-2B category. One thing to point out is the executive proclamation specifies that anyone involved in the food supply chain would be exempt from this executive action. We also see spouses of some of those earlier categories being affected by this. Some executives in the L1 category, these are basically people that are transferred within major companies from one location abroad into the U.S. In fact, they may be overseeing many U.S. workers. And then finally, the J1 category is in there as well, trainees and teachers. There's been a lot of talk about au pairs for childcare. And so this isn't going to include every kind of J, but enough of the J categories that there's a lot of confusion and kind of panic over who this will refer to.
Now, how about people who are currently in the country under one of these programs? Does this mean they are done and have to go, or are they exempted?
No, the language of the executive proclamation is pretty clear on that point, that this is someone who is outside the country at the time that it goes into effect, starting tomorrow or, you know, midnight tonight. So I think that is one point where there's clarity. There are a lot of ambiguities, and I think some things that we may see memoranda come through agencies needing to clarify what some of the exceptions will and will not cover.
What do we know about the rationale behind these orders from the Trump administration?
Oh, that's a really wonderful thing to think about, just in terms of the framing of it in the language of what the executive proclamation is called. It's called a proclamation for aliens who present a risk to the U.S. labor market. So that's kind of telling right there that this is really something designed to protect American workers as the framing and the logic of justification. In fact, putting American workers first, or that language of prioritizing American workers, is really found throughout the language of the executive proclamation. So I think that's the main logic of the administration, is this is something, when the pandemic has dramatically impacted the U.S. economy, that's supposed to be about having native-born American workers have a priority in getting jobs.
So the idea is, if this, say, 500,000 people under this one program, or I may have the number wrong, yeah, about 500,000, aren't coming in to get this job, that would free up those jobs for American workers who are currently unemployed. Do we know if those jobs can transfer that easily?
Yeah, that's a really tough question as well. So those that support it say that this has already been a problem for a long time, and this is something groups like FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, have been pressing the administration on, that those H-1 visas create too much competition for native-born workers. And if only those would be reduced, then we would see far more native-born workers fill those occupations. The argument against that, often coming from the business community and from the industry, is that that's not the case, that this is really kind of specialized skills and gaps that native-born workers are not filling. Or it could even be something like, we simply need the most talent, we need the most brilliant mind, we need whoever the most innovative, sort of well-trained person is, regardless of where they are born. And so that's kind of the pushback we see, that these will not perfectly translate, and that's a big debate.
Talking to Elise Cohen, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay, about a proclamation from the Trump administration cutting back on people, many workers coming from other countries to work in the U.S. under various visa programs. Can you talk, Elise, about the president's discretion to make this kind of change?
Yeah, so what we see here is an extension, really an expansion of a ban he had issued back in April. At that time, it was really limited more to those who would be coming on visas for green cards, meaning they would be coming here because an employer or a family member had petitioned for them to be brought in, but for a permanent path to immigration and a permanent stay. So this is different in that it's much broader and really expands that. But we did already see a legal challenge underway to that, perhaps because this is just an expansion of what came before. We could maybe see the lawsuit against the April ban is just kind of expanded to also include this one. So we might anticipate sort of a legal challenge come about here.
I know some businesses are concerned, like, say, a multinational where, yeah, maybe some people come from our India office to work in Silicon Valley, and we send some people to work in our London office who are Americans. And there have been some concerns that other countries might retaliate and say, okay, if our people can't go there, your people can't come here. Is that a concern?
Oh, yeah, that's a really interesting point, too. We just have this news today that I'm sure listeners are starting to pick up on, that the European Union is saying, you know, it will be reopening its borders in July, and the U.S. may likely be on its list of banned travelers because our pandemic response has been comparatively poor. And we also see, like you mentioned, those tech companies saying that this would harm their ability to have innovation and would harm their ability to recruit or transfer, like you mentioned, the most talented members of the workforce. So I know Apple, Facebook, Google, HP, even Twitter as a company issued a tweet statement saying that diversity is one of the biggest strengths of the U.S. economy and workforce. So we absolutely see these kind of Silicon Valley and other companies coming out against this. And actually, this is a really interesting point. Just thinking about Republicans and the division over this issue, we also saw Senator Lindsey Graham saying this would have a chilling effect on the freedom of those employers to sort of bring in and transfer and hire who they most need, which is more in line with conservatives who believe in the free market economy principle that are at odds a bit with the more nationalist populist wing of the Republican Party.
We're talking to Elise Cohen, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay. She's with us to talk about the Trump administration's move to suspend temporary foreign work visas through at least the end of the year. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think about this move from the Trump administration? If you're a business owner who relies on temporary foreign workers, what is your reaction to this? Noting that it does not include foreign agricultural workers, seasonal workers in the United States. If you've benefited yourself from one of these visas in the past, what's your takeaway? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about the Trump administration's move to suspend foreign work visas and freezing of green cards until the end of the year. That applies to people not currently in the United States who were hoping to come over under these visa programs, and it does not include agricultural seasonal workers. Elise Cohen is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Green Bay, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the H-1B program or other worker visas? What do you think about the move from the Trump administration to suspend those and to extend suspensions until the end of the year? If you or your family or your business is going to be impacted by the move, we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR. Elise, were there moves to make these kind of changes pre-COVID and before the economic downturn that came along with that?
Oh, absolutely. That's something that a lot of people have pointed out, that maybe the pandemic is giving an opportunity, a window, to move forward on some previous policy initiatives. This is just the latest restriction in a long list since the onset of COVID-19 in the spring. So, for example, there was the halting of the issuance of new green cards that we talked about back in April. There have also been a lot of moves against asylum. So there's been a delaying of court hearings for those that are waiting on their asylum cases. We've also seen the Remain in Mexico policy that has been unfolding this spring, and now that's sort of completely blocking entry. We've seen a speed up in the authority, ability of border agents to just send people back immediately. I think I saw a statistic from last month that CBP, they were saying they just sent back around 80% of everyone they encountered on the border. So things are sort of expedited and sped up, and we are seeing a long list of things to curtail the ability of people to enter the country, whether that is through asylum or through the sort of legal visa process.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Andrew is with us in Whitewater. Andrew, hi.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up?
So I just wanted to point out that given the current unemployment situation of millions of Americans, I think it makes sense to suspend bringing in foreign workers at this time. And I don't think that that's a controversial thing to say, given that during the 2016 election, Bernie Sanders, that was one of the things that he talked about, was how bringing in foreign labor was a big push that was being brought by people like the Koch brothers. And now you've got Lindsey Graham talking about how we need to continue doing so. So I think given how many millions of Americans are unemployed, I don't think bringing in more foreign workers to fill jobs makes sense.
Gotcha, Andrew. Thanks a lot for the call. We were talking about that argument a little bit earlier, Elise.
Yeah, and I think that really resonates with so many supporters of Trump and those in his base. You know, we're just about 130 days away from the election, and this is one of his crucial promises of his campaign, is that he will put America first and American workers first. What we saw with Lindsey Graham, just to clarify that, he was criticizing this move just in terms of the perspective of economic recovery for American workers, in the sense that job creation and innovation and growth can often come from the freedom of these employers to bring in the workers they see, you know, the best fit with what they're looking for. So I think that's sort of where the perspectives clash, is the argument that this is actually in the long-term interests of the economic recovery to have those employers able to bring in the workers to fill those gaps, versus the idea that they should be forced to find whatever American-born worker can fill that role, even if they don't match up perfectly with the qualifications the employer is looking for.
Andrew, thanks for that call. And Andrew makes an interesting point about the politics that, you know, for a long time, the American labor movement, some on the left, saw, you know, bringing in foreign workers as a way to undercut wages for American workers. So there are people on both sides of the aisle, at least in decades past, who might have agreed with Andrew's point.
Absolutely. In fact, this is a really great thing to mention just about what the White House has said on this executive proclamation. They issued a follow-up statement where they listed examples of Democrats and, quote, liberal commentators that used to support what they refer to as common sense efforts to protect American jobs. And just as the caller mentioned, Senator Bernie Sanders is quoted, Paul Krugman, Barack Obama when he was a senator, all on the same points of immigrants being competitors for the most low-wage jobs. And so that is a common theme, is kind of focusing on the lowest wage and saying it's kind of immigrants versus American workers. And even a lot of rhetoric about minority workers being the hardest hit by having to compete with immigrants.
We also heard from Barb in Port Edwards, who's worried about health care providers that might not be citizens getting sent back during the pandemic. Are there exemptions for health care workers here, Elise?
You know, that's one of the issues where I think we will need to anticipate some clarification through memoranda from the agencies. Some immigration lawyers are talking a lot about the exemption where it says treatment of COVID-19, because that leaves open, you know, what if it's an oncologist, for example, and their patients are not directly COVID-19 patients. It's not the primary reason the oncologist is coming, but their oncology patients end up getting COVID-19. You know, so it's often very intertwined and messy how these health conditions relate in the healthcare industry. So that is a fear that some healthcare professionals and expertise will be blocked from entering just because it isn't clearly defined right now what exemptions will be able to move forward.
In our last minute or so, there's been a lot going on in immigration all over the last bunch of years, but over the last couple of weeks in particular. What story are you watching next, Elise?
Well, I'm watching Trump being in Arizona right now, and he just did a tour of the border wall and symbolically signed a plaque on the 200th mile. So I'm really curious to see if he's going to talk about these latest moves and how these moves are going to fit in with his narrative about America first and loyalty to Americans before a loyalty to foreigners.
And briefly, your reaction to the U.S. Supreme Court DACA decision just from last week.
My take is that there will absolutely be pushback, and I think administration officials are already saying that they are planning to, re-innovate and reconfigure some things to go at a second sort of shot at taking down DACA. So I think we're sort of not done with that, even though many perceived it as a victory at the time.
Elise, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob.
Elise Cohen is an associate professor of political science at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. She joins us today to talk about the Trump administration's move to suspend a number of immigration policies, including freezing many foreign work visas and green cards.